This morning, I'm doing the second part of my series. I got a three-part series. We've been doing Jacob, relationship with God. We looked at that last week. And Jacob wrestled with God, fought for his relationship with God, and God granted many victories. And I talked about us wrestling with God in prayer. I pray that you wrestle with God in prayer about things that needs to happen in your life, things that for your own relationship with God, things where you want to go, where you want to be. You go to God and you wrestle in prayer with it. I like how Jacob wouldn't let God go. You know, he wrestled that angel of God till he had to do what to his hip? Had it touch his, like his socket, to just be let go. He would not let go. Brothers and sisters, we need to be holding on to God and never letting go, no matter what. Amen. I want to look at David's relationship with God today. And let's learn something from David. We saw how Jacob wrestled with God and what he did with God. Let's look at David and his relationship with God. And next week, I'm going to close out the series talking about Jesus' relationship with God. But I want to look at David this morning and his relationship with God. In everything I talk about with David this morning, there's one verse. I pray to God that you never forget until the day you die. If you don't get anything out of everything I said today at the end of my message, I want you to remember this one verse. And we'll get to it in a minute. We're going to get to it. But there's one verse. I don't ever want you to forget. And when you meet God, if you quote this one verse, he's going to say, come right on in. This one verse. One verse. That is all you got to do, Silhouette. Remember this. One verse, and you'll be all right. Anybody ever tell you that? Okay, I'm telling you now. This one verse, Rosalind, and you're going to be all right. Shy, this one verse, just one, and you're going to be all right. Vanessa says she can't wait to hear it. I hadn't shared it with her yet. I'm looking forward to telling you this one verse. But before I get to that one verse, I want to read a little bit, to tell you a little bit about David. And then I'm going to share this one verse. And I got other things I'm going to share with you, but I just want you to remember this one verse from this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's read. Share with you a little bit about David. David, he was beloved. It is said that he was Israel's greatest king and most loved king. He also wrote many of the Psalms. He was the youngest son of Jesse of Bethlehem. He took care of his father's sheep and was anointed king by Samuel. He played the harp for King Saul. He was the one that killed Goliath. Remember David and Goliath? He was the one that killed Goliath with a slingshot and what? A stone. Oh, David. The bad boy. He became best friends and loved by Jonathan, Saul's son. You know his reputation with Jonathan? His reputation with Jonathan, they loved each other deeply from the heart. Many people were, you know, people were jealous of their relationship, envy, because they loved each other deeply from the heart. They're a great example of a Bible of best friends. You want to become best friends with somebody spiritually? Study out David and Jonathan. They'll teach you how to be best friends. One of the best friend stories in all the Bible. David and Jonathan. Jonathan. Dad, King Saul, became very jealous of David because everybody loved David. They loved the boy. King Saul killed thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. He became very jealous of King Saul. King Saul became very jealous of David to the point that David became a fugitive. He wept with Jonathan because he had to run off. Jonathan saved his life from his own father. It's unbelievable. From his own father, Jonathan went to King David. King at the time, David said, you got to roll. You got to run. My dad gonna take you out. He was a fugitive. Hid in caves. Fled to the Philistines. Lived in the wilderness. He was pursued by King Saul. But yet, what I learned from David that's very humbling, that even though King Saul was trying to kill him at nonstop, he would not return and retaliate to King David. King Saul. David would not retaliate to King Saul. He would not even touch the hair on his head. Wouldn't touch him. But what David would say was, God will fight that battle. I'm not going to mess with this man. He let God deal with him. I learned a lot from King David. You will always have enemies. You will always have those that are envy and jealous of you and want to see you fail. But you don't wish bad on them. You love them. You trust God. Let God deal with them. And that is exactly what King David did. What an inspirational story of a man who was chased down, treated bad, and all he did was love and trust God. And God lifted him up in his due time and wiped out all his enemies. King David. David. And after King Saul died, David became king. He was over Judea. And all of Israel acclaimed him king. But even as great as he was, old King David fell into, he didn't fail, he jumped right into adultery with Bathsheba. You know, as a preacher, you hear about stuff like this and you talk. My wife and I, we be talking about these kind of stories in the Bible. God has done all these great things with this man. She asked me one day, now Mark, why would he have to go get in adultery? I don't know. I'm just glad I ain't done it, honey. That's all I can tell you. But why did he have to do something like that? When God has granted him so much and has given him so much. But one thing I got to say about King David, he did repent it. Psalms 51. He repented. And he gave God his glory again. He didn't wallow in his sin. He repented. And that's another great example of King David. When you sin, repent. Repent. Don't wallow in your sin and don't be defiant in your sin. Repent. King David. He made Solomon his successor, King Solomon. But he was king for 40 years. He wrote over 73 Psalms. David, selected by God, he was selected by God to replace Saul as king. That is very important. David did not elevate himself as king. No. Study the story. God chose David to be king. He was selected by God. That is something all my years preaching, over 28 years now, preaching, that I've learned over my life, even with my wife, through the years of before she came, my wife, and just a friend, and through Joe Woods talking to me about being a minister, that it, ministering is a calling. It is not for you to select yourself to be a preacher. A lot of people really don't get that. They choose themselves to be a preacher. But it is a calling. And when you've been asked by God to do something you had never dreamed or thought of, man, it's something about that. It's very humbling. Very humbling. But when you choose to be such a way, so you elevate yourself. And I've had many men ask me, hey, how can I be a minister? I want to be a preacher. I want to go into ministry. And the only ones I ever seen to do well when somebody tapped them on the shoulder and say, do you think God has called you to be a minister? And make them go, really? No, I haven't thought of anything like that. And I've seen my life over the years, those who have been called like that, they'll get in and they're in it for the right motives and reasons. And God used them to do well. I don't say that because I'm blessed because somebody asked me to go into ministry. No, I said because my experience of seeing people do it. And seeing those who want to put themselves in the ministry and seeing those who will be called to go into ministry. I've told you the story, Joe Woods. I can't wait to share the singles retreat because Marty Wooten going to be there. I can't wait for that time. That's going to be a very emotional time for me if I have Marty Wooten there, Vanita, and my mom, who was instrumental for me to become a Christian. That's going to be very emotional for me. That triangle that God surrounded me, and then Joe Woods, who died to inspire me to go into ministry. A calling. It's a calling. God called David. Amen. Say, that's him. That skinny, tall one. Handsome looking one. Get him in the ministry. You're the one that's taking care of the sheep. And even if you read the story of David, the great things that he did, some things, you know, the way he killed Goliath, when he put on how they laughed at him, the little skinny guy, they sent this boy out here to me. So you fight me with your armor, but I come with God. I come with God. Like, you won't have a chance, Goliath. You are a joke to me because I have God. You got all that armor, and all I got is a slingshot and a rock. But I have God. He wheeled that thing and hit him. He charged the lion and just hit him. Hit him right in the head and he went down. The Philistine freaked out. This man had killed many. Yeah, then he cut his head out and took it back. Hey, and then took it back to King Saul. A little boy. God did it. And the people started singing. That's when David started getting, King Saul got getting jealous. But he saw what that boy did. Here he took away something great. God used something small and something that the world don't even look at as much. He used that to shame the strong and the wise. And that is how God operates. It's not about how big you are. It's not about how many people you got. It's not about how much money you have. It is all about God. That is all it's about. And that is all we need. And watch what my God can do with you and us. Even with these little ones. If these young, cute little rascals can get God, my God. Are you kidding me? If they can grasp and understand God, if Jesus can do it at 12 and figure it out, you don't think he said, I'm going to the Father so you can do greater things than I. You don't think they can start figuring out, whoa, with God, I might can do what? How old are you? How old are you? Whoops. Here we go. You don't think they can start figuring it out? They can figure out how to get in sin. They can figure out how to lie to you. They can figure out how to cheat. They can figure out how to be deceitful. They can figure out God. Yes. They can figure it out. Where's Cliff? There you go. Ariana was at Bible Talk this week. How old is Ariana, Cliff? 4 years old. Four. Four now. I'm minding my own business. I look down, I got a little four-year-old. Mr. Mark. No, she don't call me Mr. Mark. Mr. Marker. I don't know why she won't drop the ER. You be having to do that. You have anything to do with that, man? He gonna tell my, Mr. Marker. Okay, Ariana. And then Vinny's standing there. Well, honey, I think she got something to ask you. Well, it's pretty clear she's about to pull my leg off. What's up, sweetie? Can we have Bible Talk next week at my house? 4 years old. Want to know if we can do what we just did here at my house. 4 years old. Cliff, did you send her to ask me that? He said, nope. Veronica, did you send her to ask me that? She said, no. Her parents did not even send her to speak of me on this. I'm sitting there like, Girl, you mean 4-year-old? Okay, if Cliff and Ryan can lie, did they lie in Bible in their Bible studies? How old is this little rascal? 4. And then she stares me down like waiting on the answer. You know, sometimes you think kids, they'll forget and go run off. She just sat there, just looking at me. I said, yeah? You think that was enough? When? 4 years old. Want to have Bible talk at her house. Then she tell Vanita, said, honey, you should have heard what she told me. Did she tell Vanita the adults could be downstairs and the kids could be upstairs? Did you lie about how old this girl is? 4 years old. Want to know if I can have Bible talk at my house. And by the way, we got some room. The kids can go upstairs and adults can be downstairs. 4 years old. Are you with me, church? Let's don't take for granted what my God can do with them. If he could take David and kill Goliath, what he can do with these kids? With a heart for God. That is all it takes. And see, kids got this little pure, clean heart. My God. I'm excited about what God can do with us. We got to be called. You have been called to be a Christian, every one of us. You have been called to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And all of us would like to have some of the victories that King David, God gave King David, I'm telling you. You will want some of those victories. I'm going to give you that one scripture, the key to all those victories. If you don't get nothing else today, get the one. The one scripture is all you need to get all those victories that King David got. And you can kill all the Goliaths in your life in some. And then watch what God do with you. Now, don't go home after I give it to you. Y'all let me finish the rest of the message. But all you need is this. No, I ain't. I'm going to give it to you up front. See if you leave. I got Cliff at the door. You ain't going to get back, Cliff. That's my armor bearer. How many swords you got over there? Cliff, you don't need but one. Turn with me to Acts 13, verse 22. And let's see if you get it. This is all you need. And he talks about Saul and David. I'm going to make sure you get there before I read it. It starts open up in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. You there? It said, after the removing of Saul, God made David their king. God testified concerning him. Now, you will want God to testify concerning you. Before he even said anything else, they want us to know that God spoke of David. He testified about David. What would God testify about you? And concerning you. Look what he says about David. And this is all you need. Silhouette. This is it. God testified concerning David. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Can God say that about you? I have found Paul, a man after my own heart. I have concerned and testified about David Ekagary, and he's a man after my own heart. I have found Ken Charlie to be a man after my own heart. Would God say that about you? I have found Carol to be a woman after my own heart. Would God say that about you? I have found Maddie to be a woman after my own heart. Would God say that about you? This is all you need, Silhouette. This is all you need for God to say this about you. But why did God say this about David? Let's finish reading. And this is all you need. Let's finish reading. He will do everything I want him to do. What y'all wait for? I'm going home. There is nothing else to be said. There is nothing else to say. Church is over. That's it. David will do everything God tells him to do. That's all you need, Silhouette. That's it. If I say anything else, I can preach until I'm blue. What is there else to say? He does everything God tells him to do. Does that describe us? Is that you, Jared? That's it. Don't you ever forget this scripture. All the days of your life. Because you want to have a heart of God. And you want to be known as a person that does everything God tells you to do. And then we're going to heaven. That's all she wrote. I really want to do that one day. Read the scripture and just drop the mic and go home. And let the people of the church just sit there. And they'd be like, is he really leaving? I'm going to leave. I'm going to go home on y'all. Y'all gonna look out the window and you'll see me get in the car. Is he for real? He just drove off. I should have planned that today, honey. I should have did that today. And just left you. And y'all just sitting there like, did he just rent? Where's the deacons? He's leaving. There is nothing else to say. You're going to tell him. And God going to say, well done, my good faithful servant. What is this? He need to say nothing else. David, did he not tell you? Just obey everything I commanded you. What else did you need to hear? Yeah. Let's pray. What else there? Is there anything else to say? Do somebody have something else to say? My God. That's how powerful the scripture is. That's why he said, God said, he's a man after my own heart. He does everything I tell him. David. Y'all got me sweating up in here. I'm just inspired. But let's read a little bit more about David. Turn with me to Psalm 63, verse 1. Let's go back to the Old Testament. But you better believe I'm going to come back to that scripture. That's going to be the last thing I read. Because I just want to leave that on your heart. Psalm 63. I think Tim read this last week in communion. And I don't know if y'all got it all, but it inspired me. He didn't know I was studying out David at the time. Listen what it says here. We're talking about relationship with God. You see why David has such a great relationship with God. He does everything his father tells him to do. He obeys. See, obedience is a must to have a great relationship with God. Brother, y'all got to write that down. You must obey. Obedience is a must. You can't separate it. And God gives a great example in our families as we raise these kids. You teach them that they must obey or they won't make it in life. They will fall. Well, how much more it is with God? Well, since we got to obey. We got to be reading our Bibles. Got to be praying. That's obedience. We got to be humble and teachable. Obedience. Loving and kind and generous. Obedience. We must deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. We got to get rid of these things of, you know, that's the way I am. No. We become Christians. We no longer that way anymore because obedience to God says, deny yourself and be like God. Amen. that's obedience. People must see God in us. Do they see God in you? That's obedience. There's nothing like a child who obeys God. Man, it brings radiance to God. That's why we're here. Let's read Psalm 63. It says, "You, God, are my God." Listen to his words. David, "You, God, are my God." Listen to the relationship there. "Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you." Like thirsting for water to live. He thirsts for God to live. "My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up your hands. I will be fully satisfied as the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because of you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed." Oh my God. Wait a minute now. Listen to David. Listen to his relationship with God. And then he said, "By the way, I love you so much, those want to kill me, you're going to kill them. They will be destroyed." And David kept trying, King Saul kept trying to kill David, and God destroyed him. Yes. That's a relationship with God you want to have. Yes. That your enemies will be destroyed because you just simply love God. Yes. You just pray to God and God take care of it. Oh my God. Do y'all hear and see and understand what I hear and see? "They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals." Man, y'all better not mess with a righteous man of God. I'm here to tell you. You better not mess with a righteous woman of God. God will destroy you. "But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced." Those who lie on God's people will be silenced. Will be destroyed. God, you know what's now, what we got as a people got to understand, God don't destroy them and silence them in our timetable. It's in his timetable. Right. It's amazing to me when King Saul was attacking David, not at any point did David go, "God, can you get rid of him right now?" He just kept running. Yeah. And when he had a chance to kill King Saul, his friends were like, "There he is." He was getting rest, and the Bible says he relieved himself in a cave, and David happened to be in that cave. And he was like, "King Saul, hey Saul, David, there's Saul, kill him now." And David said, "Nope, I won't touch the hair on his head. God got him." But see, he could have said, "Well, maybe God just handed him to me. Maybe I can kill him because this is what God wants me to do. And let me kill him and get rid of him." God got rid of him because I killed him. But David said, "No." See, that would be David killing him. You know, David said, "God got this." Brother, sister, I'm telling you, have anybody heard this song called "God Favors Me" by Hezekiah Walker? If you haven't, listen to the word. Listen to that song and the words. They are moving and inspiring. God favors me. My God. Hey, Vinny, make sure I get those words. I'm going to read them to you next week. It's about, you're going to be inspired. Well, we're going to take some time before we can sing it. But we're going to read them. I said, we'll take some time before I can sing it. We're going to read them. We're going to read them. I want you to hear, man, they're inspiring. God, does God favor you? When God favored you the way he favored King David, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Are you with me, church? David. Do you hear his relationship with God and what we just read? Is this our heart towards God? Is the way we feel about God like this? If this is how we feel about God, if it's like this, it'll blow you away. You got to make the words real big for me to say them. You found them? Yeah, I got them. Come on, I'm going to read this to you. Because you know I can't see, brother. My words be bigger than that. Let's start off.
Okay,
good. Just go up by that. Okay, I don't know about how to work these computers. Listen to this. This is my testimony to everybody, how God favors me in spite of my enemies. He must have got this from David. I mean, if you listen to the words, he had to get these words from after he read King David. Because his song is about everything what King David was going through. And if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. The words went small on me. Look at that. I got the same thing for you. Don't worry about your hearts. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words. Love is patient, caring. Love is kind. Love is felt most when it's genuine. But I've had my share of love abuse, manipulating, and its strength misused. And I can't help but give you glory when I think about my story. And I know you favor me because my enemies did not try, but my enemies did try, but couldn't trump over me. Yes, they did not. They did try, but couldn't triumph over me. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed on my way to my destiny because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love. Love is patient, caring. Love is kind. Love is felt most when it's genuine. But I've had my share of love, abuse, manipulating, and its strength misused, and I can't help but give you glory when I think about my story. And I know you favor me because my enemies did try but couldn't triumph over me. See, it's a guy been favored by God. See, David's enemies couldn't triumph over him because of God. Yes, they did try but couldn't triumph over me. They whispered, I love this. They whispered, conspired, they told their lies. But God favored me. My character, my integrity, my faith in God. God favored me. He said it was my integrity, my character about God, and my strength in God. God blessed me for it. No matter what his enemies said about him. I speak life and prosperity, and I speak health. God favors me. I skipped the line. What line I skipped, sweetie? You gotta get your computer. I can't handle that thing. Let me see this one. Oh, that's what I want to read. I got it. It says, I will not fall. I will not bend. I won't compromise. See, he said, I will not fall. I will not bend. I won't compromise. I won't compromise my faith in God. Because he don't compromise. God favors him. Thank you, honey. And that's the key. See, I think about David. When I heard that song, I thought about David's life. David did not compromise. He had integrity. He had honesty. And God favored him. That's what we got to have. Do we compromise our relationship with God to get people to like us? We're around people and everybody cursing, acting fools. So, you know, you got to just kind of fit in. You compromise. And when you do that, you lose favor from God. David did not compromise. And he had an opportunity to take a shortcut. He could have tried to take a shortcut to get his relationship with God right. When he had a chance to kill David, he could have killed David then because, man, I could stop hiding in these caves. So if I kill Saul, I'd be okay. I can get out of these caves. That man didn't take a shortcut. He waited patiently for God to deal with him. Hear me on that, church. That's what really got to happen in all our lives. You're all going to have haters. You're all going to have enemies. But you don't deal with them. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with them. People are going to be mean spirit. They're going to hate you for the color of your skin. Some are going to hate you because of your character. They just don't like you. Some are going to hate you because they're just jealous of you because you got more than what they got in their mind. And some are going to hate you because you're poor and ain't got nothing, but you have God and they don't. And you are favored by God in their eyes. So therefore, they're going to hate you. But let God deal with your haters. The Bible says love does what? Covers over a multitude of sin. Remember he kept saying love in that song. He's talking about love. Just love him and let God deal with those haters. Are y'all with me? That's what David did. That's what we must do. Are you with me, church? Are y'all with me, man? Look at Psalms 40. I'm not through with David. I could tell you, I could have dropped it and went home after I read that verse. But I want to read a little bit more. I want you to see his heart even more. Look at Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. Verse 1 now. I wait patiently for the Lord. Oh, my God. He turned to me and he heard my cry. Just write that on. He says, I wait patiently for the Lord. Then he turned to me and then he heard my cry. See, do you wait patiently for the Lord when you pray for him, when you need things? Are you patient? Or you want him now? You got to let God deal with things in his timetable, not yours. If you can learn how to be like this, it's a wrap. Satan has no chance for you. That your faith is so strong that when you pray for, you know God, he's going to get it done in his timetable. It's going to be okay. And sometime when he get it done, it might not be done the way you want him to do it, but it gets done. And you give God his glory. Are you with me, church? That was just verse 1. Look at Paul, this man can pray. Look at David, thank you. He can pray. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remain utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, Lord, my life in the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath. Even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be. Wow. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. Man, I love that. I love that. God, he said, man, God, don't let me be a scorn of fools. You know what? I jumped over to chapter 39. I'm sorry. I jumped to 39. Let me get back in 40. I was reading out of 39 there too. That's Psalm of David too. I'm sorry. I got all these Psalms I want to read to you. I had jumped over to 39 on you. Now, thank you, bro. Let me get back in 40. I was in verse 1 and 40. Over there, I was reading verse 7, so verse 2 through 7. Now I'm back in 40. I'm all over David this morning. I apologize. Now, start back in verse 2 and verse 40. He lift me up out of my slimy pit, out of my mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Listen to how what he did for David. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. Now, here we go. Many are the wonders that God has done and the things that God has planned for us. Now, I say this, church. Do you understand some of the things God plans for us? Like, you know, I know we had the Playmakers Bowl plan, right? We had the Playmakers Bowl plan, right? How you know God didn't have the Playmakers Bowl plan? That's right. We got the Singers Retreat plan, right? Or did God have the Singers Retreat plan? See, when there's success, when you understand that God has planned these things, and that you're living out God's plan, that God put those seeds in us. God has these plans for us. Everything we do, we try to do it for God, and not for ourselves to take glory or praise or honor. We do things for God. How many of you are married here this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, let me ask you something. You think God gave you your spouse, or you chose your spouse? Oh, you say that on a Sunday morning and preaching in front of the preacher. You'll say that. But while you're at dinner and while you're eating, man, let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you how I met my woman. See, how you met her. Let me tell you how I got her. How you got her. Let me tell you how I got him. How you got him. See, take time out and start thinking about how did God put us together? How did we just meet? Start thinking about what God has done. And no, seriously, brothers and sisters, if you do that, it'll inspire you. You'll be encouraged. Slow down and start thinking, okay, how do we actually meet? How'd that come about? And you start thinking, did God arrange that? Okay, see, if you start thinking it like that, you'll be more in love in your marriage. Because you'll start believing God arranged that. God gave you who he wants you to have. Get the eye out the way. And put God in place of the eye. That's what helped me in my marriage. You think I planned to meet Vanita when I was in elementary school? You think I planned that in middle school we're going to be kicking it and I'm going to see her again in high school? I'm thinking, this girl must be following me. But God arranged all that. You know, and I'm going to tell you, when I got through college and she was there with me in college, we really became good friends in college. Then it scared me because then I started really believing that God was arranging this. And then when I really started believing it, I don't want to say I was putting God to the test. I'm scared to death to test God. But it's like that fleece, you know, Gideon put the fleece out, I said, God, do something here. And then show me, Gideon, he put the fleece out and it was wet. And he said, God, can you do it one more time so I just know that you really did this? So when we started dating, I got scared. And I said, God, can you just do something for me to let me know that this is really who you want me to have? And I didn't tell Vanita I was going to say this tomorrow. I'm going to say, Vanita, remember, what did we do in our dating relationship to confirm that God wants us to have each other? What do we pray about, though? But what about our relationship? Y'all came in here in the back because you know she'd be whispering like she'd be killing me. She prayed. She said, we prayed that God, you know what? If you don't want to separate us, but can we just stay best friends? Yeah, Vinny was, oh, I was crying because I was scared God was going to take away from me. Because after I prayed, I got scared. I said, but what if God says, okay, yeah, you planned it. That was never my plan. And he removed it. Man, I got scared. I ain't gonna tell no lie, Paul. I was like a little punk, man. I was crying. I'm like, oh Jesus. And then I got, you know what I really got scared about? That God know what I'm thinking in my heart and what I'm feeling. So I said, okay, God, I'm serious. If it's your will, separate. And we played this for weeks and weeks. We just pray, God, stop it. Don't let us. I'm falling too much in love here. And if it's not your will, stop it. Just stop it. Just bring it to a halt. But please, God, can we just stay friends? I've known her for so long. I just would like life would be just a friend if I can't have her. Can we just be friends? And God says, no, she's going to be your woman. You couldn't tell me nothing then. Because then, to me, God revealed it through long-term prayer. I didn't do a prayer one time and then, you want to marry me? That ain't what we did. We prayed and we fasted and we prayed and we fasted and we prayed. How often we pray and fast about our relationship, Vanita?
Every Friday.
Can y'all hear?
Every Friday.
Every Friday. Every Friday. Every Friday. I'm feeling pretty proud of my woman. You know how the men don't be all remembering stuff, but, you know, my wife, she remembers these things. These little things, it's encouraging. We prayed every Friday. Every Friday. If it's not your will, stop it. Stop it. And then we'd be looking at, okay, is he going to stop it? Okay, what's going to happen? Are we going to just be friends? There's no intimacy and sex and nothing like that. We're just friends. Dating and love, so stop it. God gave you who you have. You got to understand that. If you can grasp that and understand that and believe it, it's over. But do you believe it? David believed that his plans were God's plan. That's why he didn't touch King Saul. He wasn't worried about it. God gonna deal with him. And when it's time for me to be king, he will make it obvious. It's not time, and I don't have to kill him to be king. I'm already king when God's ready for me to be king. Are you with me, church? That's the way we must live our lives. We already got the victory. Live as you got the victory. The victory has been won. We're just buying time here on this earth till we go to heaven. And we're trying to take everybody with us. That's how we got to live our lives. That's how we got to live our lives. Are you with me? Oh, I can go on and on about King David, brothers and sisters. On and on and on about his relationship with God. Look at his relationship with God. Look at verse 5. My Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Where I to speak and tell of your deeds, they will be too many to declare. Wow. Too many. That's just for David's life. He said, if I told of all your deeds, it'd be too many. Can you say that? But if you have a great relationship with God, you can. Come on, guys. We can go on and on about what God has done. Seriously. I mean, Rosalind, really. With your kids and where you raise your kids and your household and the marriage you went through and where you standing, you can go on and on and on. Yeah. On and on what God has done for you. Yeah. There are too many to count. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Sarah, Patrice, are you kidding me? You can go on and on and on. There are too many to count. That's the way we got to live our lives. Brother, you are blind, your wife in a wheelchair. You can go on and on what God has done for you. David and his wife, my God, they have stories to tell. From New Orleans to Dallas to here in Mexico, right? They got stories to tell what my God has done in their lives. Dan and Veronica could go on and on and on and on and on. What God has done for them. They got stories to tell. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. That's what we got to see. Are y'all brothers and sisters? Are you with me? Amen. Are you kidding me? Ken and Shadarin, are you kidding me? You have a story to tell. Yes. Veronica, you married a Cliff. You got a story by itself. We'll be here for a few years. Are you with me? We got stories to tell. So hear me. Let's tell them and give God his glory. Because that's what inspires people. Look what my God has done for me. It inspires people. David's life, his relationship with God inspires people. Why can't our life and our relationship with God inspire people? Maddie's family is in Puerto Rico. I text Maddie when she was in Puerto Rico. She texts me back. to tell me that her family said hello. Remember her, what are they, your nieces and nephews that was here?
Right.
Who came to church. They still talking about us. She has stories to tell.
That's right.
It melted my heart when I got that text. It was over Christmas, I think it was, wasn't it? My God. Shy has a story to tell.
Oh, yeah.
We can just tell you about that wedding we did not long ago. But you would have been so proud of Shy around her family.
Amen.
And our friendship and our love. I love her like a daughter. I was so proud how she carried herself around her family. They treated me like family. We have stories to tell. You ain't seen her family in a while. But when they come to town, guess what? They be trying to find us. That's inspiring. All of our family should be that. My mom speak of you all the time. She can't wait to see Dan and Veronica. Miss Pearl think we are jaded them gone, but you are my family.
Amen.
When she's not here, she's at work. She ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
This is my family. Listen. Caitlin. I get that right?
Caitlin.
Caitlin. I got it instead of Caitlin. Caitlin. We're her only family here, guys. Caitlin, where's your family?
Virginia.
Virginia, remember? Y'all remember who she came here with, Claudette and Claudette's nephew?
Right.
She was dating the nephew, and they came. But you notice, they all gone. Where's Caitlin?
Yep.
Amen.
Weird, how many times anybody having over for dinner, spending time, reaching out to? We're a family. Her family came in for Thanksgiving and stuff. They left on a Saturday. If they wouldn't leave on a Saturday, she was bringing them all to here for church. They left Saturday because she wanted them to meet you all.
Amen. Amen.
We got to pull. Come on, brothers and sisters. You know who? What God has given. This is God's plan.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
This is God's plan.
Amen.
We're going to have those who come and those who go. Even those who go, I pray for them all the time. When me and Paul pray, we pray for Tony and JD. We pray that they get their jobs are going well, their life's okay. We pray for everybody who's come and go.
Amen.
We want people to succeed wherever they go.
That's right.
Nobody's our enemy.
Yep.
We love everyone.
Amen.
We want people to feel love and family. We want them to feel our prayers.
Amen.
If we ever don't ever see Caitlin again, I guarantee she won't never forget us. But why? God's plan.
Amen.
And for us, you think God just brought her here? God brought her here.
Yep.
Why did God bring her here?
Mm.
It's God's plan.
Yes.
So you guys say, God, what do you want me to do in this plan?
Amen.
Man, Willie and Louisa has a story.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You see how they love their kids? And hey, listen. They got an ESC kid, but they don't treat him anyway, but just like that's child. The most loving kid I've ever met in my life.
Amen.
It's God's plan.
Amen.
God's trying to teach us love through our veil.
Yes. Yes,
it humbles your heart. Man, every time our veil, that young man know my name.
Yes.
Knows who I am.
Amen.
Calls me by name.
Amen.
Comes in my house like it's his house.
Amen.
Go to any room he wants to go in.
Amen.
That one too. Ariana. But that's the way it's supposed to be. It's God's plan. Are y'all with me? But you got to have that relationship with God to see these things. If your relationship with God is not what David's relationship with God is, you miss out on God's plans. Hear me, church. If you don't have a strong relationship with God, you miss out on all God's plans. You won't get it. You'll be selfish. I ain't got time for nobody. Man, I don't want to be bothered today. Here's Silhouette. Hey, Silhouette. I hope you have a good day. See, that's not God's plan. That's your plan. God's plan is for us to love, to build each other up, make sure we're okay.
Amen.
To give each other the shirt off our back. And they come to your house and all you have is one piece of chicken. Let me eat that one piece of chicken. That's God's plan. See how I put that in there?
That was smooth.
You got to give it to me, David. You got to give it to me. That was smooth. Give it to me. But it's God's plan. It's better to give than receive. That's God's plan. Yeah, the fried chicken plan. I can't prove the fried chicken in the Bible, but I sure can prove the fried fish in the Bible. It's God's plan. Are you with me, church? David, but I want y'all to hear me now. You got to have a, you will miss it if you don't have that strong relationship with God. David had an incredible relationship with God. Even when he sinned, look what he did. Look at Psalms 51. Look how he repented. Even when he sinned, look at his relationship with God. We're going to close here in a minute. I tell you, I look forward to preaching this to you. I just love it because it's about God and his words. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sins are always before you. This is supposed to be after he sinned with Bathsheba. For I know my transgression after he committed his adultery. For I know my transgression and my sins are always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned. See, that'd be great when we sin. We understand that we sin against God. You know how sometimes we sin, we want to blame other people? But look what David. David understood his sin. He sinned against God. It's not in our marriage. Man, it's even in our marriage, we like to blame sometimes our spouses. Well, if you ain't make me feel this way. But David knew, no, I sinned against God. In my sin, it was against you, Lord. That's, again, it goes back to his relationship with God. He understood. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret places. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that the sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Look at the humility, the brokenness, the cutness of his heart. David had a heart for God. We've got to grow in this, brothers and sisters. We've got to get convictions about this. We must own up to our own sins and repent. But to be able to even to do that, it's all about our relationship with God. If we don't have a great relationship with God, we won't own up to our own sins. It'll always be somebody else's fault. We won't see it. But when we got a great relationship with God, we'll own up to our sins, we'll repent, and we'll ask God for a new heart. Brothers and sisters, own up to your own sins. Identify them. But again, for that to happen, we must have a great relationship with God. I want to close with a few words, and I'm going to close with just two scriptures left here. I want to read 2 Samuel, verse 8, chapter 8, 1 through 6, and I'm going to go back to what I started with in Acts. Look at 2 Samuel, chapter 8, verse 1. Second Samuel. chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to this. In the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them. And he took Mehag, Ammi, from the control of the Philistines. David also defeated the Moabites. He made them lie down on the ground and measured them off with a length of a cord. Every two lengths of them were put to death. And the third length was allowed to live. So the Moabites became subject to David and brought him trouble. Tribute. The Moabites became subject to David and brought him tribute. Moreover, David defeated, here we go, Hazai, son of Rehob, king of Zobah, when he went to restore his monument at the Ephrates River, David captured 1,000 of his chariots, 7,000 charioteers, and 20,000 foot soldiers. He hamstrung all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Arameans, y'all help me with that word. What's that? Arameans. David, how you do that when you be reading an Old Testament, all the words in Sunday school? You know what Marty Wooten told me with PhD? He said, man, just read through them and act like you know what you're talking about. He said, because that's what I do, and I got a PhD in Bible. Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah. David struck down 22,000 of them. And here, this is what I want to talk about. He put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subject to him and brought tribute. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. Wherever he went. Now look, David fought many different tribes, did many different things. But what's important is whatever David did, God granted him victory. Amen. Now listen, but why would God grant him victory? He did all these different things, but why did God grant him victory? He was a man after God's own heart. He was obedient and did everything God told him to do. Amen. Guys, we want to grow the church. We want us to grow individually. We got to become obedient children of God. We've got to have a relationship with God that we would do everything God tells us to do. And I'm talking about we can't let sin. See, when David sinned, he got it out of the camp. If there's sin going on, you got to get it out your camp. You got to deal with it individually. And as a minister, sometimes I've got to deal with it. But I cannot allow sin to go on purposely, yet want God to bless us. It doesn't work that way. You can't have members mad at each other, lying, slandering each other, cutting each other down, being divisive. You can't allow that. That's what you call aching sin. When God stopped blessing them, they had to get aching family out of the camp. That's got to happen. Guys, and then you'll see God do incredible things in all of our lives. But for that to happen, each one of us need to police ourselves. You look in the mirror. You pull the plank out your own eye before you can see the speck of sawdust and your brother eye. And you watch what God do with you. Amen. He will grant you many victories. Listen, Joetta got stories to tell you. Yep. I'm not got stories. It's God's plan that she's here. Amen. She has stories to tell, but God favors her. Amen. Does God favor you? That's what we need to be. We must believe that. Amen. That we're in favor of God. That's why we stand this day. That's the only reason we stand this day. Because of God. And you see David's relationship with God grant him so many victories. I want your relationship with God to grant you all the victories David had. You got to go after your relationship with God. You read those Psalms. Go back and read some. Man, David was in love with God. We must be in love with God. When you're in love with God, you ain't talk about nobody about reading their Bibles and prayer. They'll be laughing at you. Man, I read my Bible and pray every day. You ain't got to inspire me to read. I'm in love with God. You got to motivate me to read. I'm in love with God. You ain't got to tell me how often I read this day. I'm in love with God. You need to, let me just tell you what I'm reading. You ain't got to inspire me to read. Let me tell you what I'm reading. Because I'm in love with God. Let me tell you about my prayer life. In fact, won't you join me in prayer? Because I'm in love with God. That's what each one of us must be and what we need to be saying.
That's right.
You join me in prayer. I don't have to worry about, did you pray with somebody this week? No, you pray with somebody this week because you're in love with God. Yes, the question is, how many did you pray with?
Exactly.
When you're in love with God, it's how many. It's not who, what, where, how many.
Exactly.
It's not, did somebody call you? How many did you call? Because you're in love with God. That's the relationship with God. When you don't have that relationship with God, you ain't calling nobody. You ain't praying with nobody. We got an early call one morning last week. And we get up early in the morning through the week because Vinny, the school teacher, has to go to a hospital, do hospital-bound teaching. You know, and I was coming out of the room, and we're up, and Vinny's just in there smiling and fired up and praying. And I'm like, who beat me praying with Vinny this morning? It was she on the phone with Rosalind praying. I was inspired. I said, oh, my God, man, I want to pray too. See, I want to be like that too. That's what we need to do for you. Man, be praying. It's inspiring to pray and pray some more. Who are you calling and praying? When you are doing that, see, when you have a relationship with God, it's not about if you're doing it. It's how many you're doing it with. Because your relationship with God. I told you, I just want you to remember one thing today. Just one. Even though we talked about, I show you David's prayer life. I mean, I can go on and on and on about David. Scripture after scripture about David's prayer life and his relationship with God. From Samuel through all the Psalms. But I like the one in Acts. Years later, this is what they said about David and his life. No, remember, Acts is years later now, brothers and sisters. This is way down the road. That they're talking about who? David and what God has said about David. So years later, what are they going to say about the RCC and the members of the RCC? Will they write and say those people love God? Will they say they were always reading their Bible? They were always praying. And everything they did, they gave God his glory. What will they say about us? What will they say? I'm just so excited by God. Are you? Do you foam at the mouth when you talk about God? Are you all dried up and ain't got nothing there? Does it get your juices a-flowing? Does your relationship with God get you to sweating? That you can't even get your words right? What does your relationship with God do with you? What kind of person does it make you? A person with a deep relationship with God, they can't even sit still. Because they want to share with those around them. Because they want people to have what they have. They're not trying to keep it to themselves. They spread the love and share the love. Let's go to the one scripture. The one. Y'all better be glad, boy. If I'd have thought about it, I'd have dropped the mic on y'all today and left y'all sitting here. I'd have left y'all sitting here. Let y'all figure out that it was over. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Now maybe the scripture makes even more sense to you. Are you there? This is years later. This is what they said about David. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. I pray that God will say this about you and me, that we will do everything he wants us to do because our relationship with him and to God be the glory. Amen. 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 Amen.